Also, make a quick announcement. Next Sunday, we'll have a baptism here. Keith's son, Brother Chris Broderick, is wanting to be baptized. And if you're wondering where he's at, Chris works. Been able to go back to work. We'll switch to the red mic. He's been able to go back to work. And, of course, they have their overtime on Sunday. And so that's where he's at. But he's asked off for next Sunday. They're going to schedule his work, his overtime around church so he can be here Sunday morning for the baptism. So appreciate that. And glad to see the work that God's doing in his life. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be back in the book of Mark, chapter number 9, looking at verse number 17. I told you last Sunday I didn't get finished with this, and I'm looking back here again today. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And it said, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That's enough reading for today. I'm not going to go back and re-preach what I preached last Sunday, but I wanted just to cover a little bit of the highlights of what we discussed here last week. There are four levels of the spiritual world. There's God's spirit. We know that the Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is the angelic spirits. Hebrews tells us that they are they not ministering spirits? They're sent forth to minister for them that are in need. And we've heard of people that no doubt have entertained angels unaware. You came too late to tell me that we don't live in a spirit world. There are demonic spirits. They're evil spirits. They're spirits of the devil. They have possessed this young man here. But let's get this right. A demonic spirit can never overcome the Spirit of God. Ever. That's why they fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. A demonic spirit cannot overcome an angel, because demonic spirits were angels that lost their first habitation. They lost their first state. They are fallen angels. They have failed. They are in a lower estate now than where they come from.
they cannot possess another angel. By the way, there's not such a thing as a perfect devil. There's not a perfect demon. Every one of them fell. God created them in a perfect state. But every one of them that fell, fell with a handicap. They have a need. That's why that demonic spirits has to have a human to carry out their desires because they are in a fallen state. They have left their first estate with God. Demons has no chance of repentance. They are damned to eternity. They have no hope. They have lost their estate with God. We have the human spirit. Now, in order for a demon, an evil spirit, to possess a human, you have to have a vacancy of a godly spirit within you. Now, they can oppress you, but they can't possess you. If you take and you say, well, I'm just not sure about all these spirits. My wife is my witness. We no sooner, we didn't even make it home Monday. I preached about this Sunday. We didn't even get home Monday. And my phone was ringing. A man on the other end, grown man in tears, crying. He said, Brother Hubbard, I don't know what to do. He says, I'm possessed. I'm talking about things that are real. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, let me just talk to you for a little bit. And I began to tell him about some of the powers. You come too late to tell me we don't live in a spirit-filled world. If you're not saved and you're not born again, you are an open target for the devil. You may say, well, I never would, I never will, I'll never do that. The difference between you and the maniac on the street. Is the demon. Well, I knew this wasn't going to be a shouting service this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. I want you to look at this. He said, but ye are not in the flesh. But in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you've got the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you, a demon cannot possess you. But if you're not a Christian, look out. I'm not trying to scare you into salvation this morning. I'm just telling you what the book says. Now, spirits are manifested in different ways. I don't want to give the devil any credit. The devil never created anything. He never it was an origination of he can't sign his name that he originated anything. but he is an imitator. And he imitates. That's why in the book of Revelation, you'll see Jesus Christ coming on a white horse with his vesture dipped in blood. He's coming to conquer. You'll find the devil on a horse with a bow in his hand, a weapon of destruction, crying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will erupt. The devil never has anything original. You'll read in the book of Revelation, there are seven spirits of God. Anybody want to guess how many spirits of the devil they are? There's seven. Well, what are they? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, we have a spirit of fear. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. You'd be surprised at the number of people that have this spirit oppressing them. That comes, they don't know what it is. It's just an anxiety that comes all over them and they don't know what to do. It is a spirit of the devil. That spirit didn't come from God. We had, and I hope you don't mind me pointing you out, Sister Tanya, but she had an issue with this just a couple weeks ago. It is a spirit that will come on you and attack you. We have the spirit of death. John chapter 10 and verse 10. You know this scripture well. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I am come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. This is where the spirit of murder and suicide. Yes, I said that word. That's a bad word. And some are not even mentally aware of what they've done. I understand that. But there is a spirit that will come on people. Why? Because the spirit has a desire to murder and to kill and to steal and to destroy. And it has to have hands to do its work. You wonder why our prisons are full. If you get right down to it, it's not the individual. It's a demonic spirit that come upon them to make them do what that is some mother's son. That's some father's daughter. You wonder why. What could possess somebody to do some of the heinous crimes that they have committed? It's the spirit. The spirit. You remember the maniac of Gadara. They put him in bonds and fetters and chains, and he would break them. Could not hold him, could not contain him. But when Jesus cast out the legions that was in him, you'll find out that they went into the swine. And what did the swine do? Pigs are proliferate swimmers. But they went into the sea and drowned. It will make you do things you never thought you yourself capable of doing. The spirit will. There's a spirit of lust. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. It said, and they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in their midst of them, and they have not known the Lord God. Once you open yourself up, it always happens the same way, Brother Virgil. You see something you shouldn't see. You hear something that you shouldn't hear. You see somebody or something that you get your mind consumed with. Lust, it's a train that never stops. What will start out as a natural relationship will end up in perversion. It's a spirit. It'll get worse and worse and worse. And before you say that I would never, you're one demon away. There's a spirit of bondage. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is a spirit of addiction. Don't get me wrong, counseling is wise. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. But some of this you have to admit that this is a spirit. And it'll come on you. And it'll come on you again and again and again. Any addiction you can quit 1,000 times. And you'll go back to it. Until you come to Jesus and call it by name and say, I need delivered from this. And get it off of you. His goal, the devil's goal, is to bring you into bondage. Why? Because if he's got you in bondage, you'll never shout. You'll never praise. You'll never read your Bible. You'll never cry out to him. If he can get you in bondage and keep you in bondage, you're trapped. I see the spirit of infirmity. Some people are sick. I get it. We've got some here that are sick today that are not here. Sister Christian, she's got to have an iron infusion tomorrow. She's got a couple of kids sick. Elizabeth, Bella's sick. There's different ones that are sick. I'm not saying all sickness is a form of demonic oppression. But there is a spirit of infirmity that can come on you. As a believer, you can never be possessed, but you can be oppressed. A demon with a handicap needs a human to act out what they cannot do themselves. Look in Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. He said, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Well, that brings up a question. Is it sickness? Is the sickness a possession or an oppression? Think with me a minute. They could have run every test possible on this young man. And the doctors would have come back with the same results. We see no reason why he cannot speak and why he cannot hear. There's not an X-ray machine out there that will pick up a devil. You cannot find it. Through DNA. There's not a blood test that you can run that will show somebody is possessed or oppressed as it was in this case. Well, brother, I've got a headache and it just won't go away. Did it ever occur to you that it only happens on church days? Am I getting my point across? I really don't feel it. I mean, I feel horrible today. I don't know what. Well, it's time, about time for church. A spirit of infirmity. If a doctor can't find out what's wrong with you and a pill won't fix it, guess what? You might have a spirit. It might be oppressing you. By the way, that's his job. You know, there is a place where we can get deliverance. But you know what the natural reaction is? Well, let's go see another doctor. Let's run another test. There's a spirit of pride. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you remember back, that's where it all started. Lucifer said, I want to be like the Most High. Pride began to rise up in him, and he decided that I'm as equal or as I'm as good as what God is, and I want to have the power that God has. Tell you what, this right here, this spirit has stopped more revivals in churches than any other spirit. Well, if I can't be the guest speaker, if I can't preach, if I can't sing, if they're not going to use me, I'm just not going to go. They can't have church without me. I'll tell you what. If I have to sit on that pew for 12 weeks straight to let somebody else come up here and preach, and I don't get to preach as long as souls are being saved and delivered, I'll sit there gladly. This church is going to go on with or without me. The spirit of pride. He doesn't need me, but I need him. I see a spirit of divination. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. Its Bible says that it came to pass as we went to prayer. Notice here what they was doing. They was going to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us and brought her master's much gain by soothsaying. What is divination? That's witchcraft. That's false prophets. That's cults. Now, I know that some has already labeled this church as a cult. But let me tell you something. If it's not in the book, I'm not going to preach it. If you're looking for somebody to preach something that's not in here, you got the wrong pastor. Well, but you know that they really ought to be doing this and they ought to be doing that. And they, you know, it's just, you can take your man-made doctrine, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Thank you, Brother Virgil. I was hesitant to say it, but I'm just repeating what he said. Mark my words down. You get saved. You watch a new Christian. You get saved, and it won't be long, and you'll have every... Well, you know what? That's a really good church down there. But I'll tell you what, you would grow so much better. You don't have to do all those things. You could stay at home and read your Bible. You could stay at home. I mean, there's so many, By the way, they are a little bit radical. Every once in a while, somebody will raise their hand. You know, there'll be a spirit of divination that will come on you. Some of it will sound good. Hey, listen, there's a reason I tell you to read your Bible. Sister Tanya, there'll be TV programs that'll be close to the truth. There'll be TV evangelists that will have good scripture, but they put just a little twist on it. You'll see something on the, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. If you'd spend as much time in this book as what you do on the internet, we'd have a whole different, we'd have revival breaking out in America today. As new Christians, be careful of what you open your mind up to. I can pick on Sister Tanya because she's growing a little bit past that new Christian stage. She's calling me and saying, hey, can you look at this and tell me what you think? Something is triggering in her mind. Something's just not quite right. But there's a lot of new Christians out there that will be deceived. A spirit of divination. Just a deviation of the truth. Second Timothy chapter 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh, they can go to the church with the best of them. They know the verses of all the songs. They can sing right along. But there's one thing that they cannot stand. That is when you get in the atmosphere of God, of angels. You know the ones I'm talking about. Pull you aside and say, hey, Let's try to keep it more modest in church. You're disrupting. You're disturbing. You never hear me complain about anybody shouting and running the aisles, lifting up hands and worshiping God, yelling amen, hallelujah, preach on. You never hear me complaining about anybody about a baby crying or a baby getting a little bit excited in a church. A newborn Christian just worship. You never hear me get excited about that. Let them worship. You don't know the trial that they just went through. By the way, if you don't like it, we could use your seat. I don't know how else plain to put it than that. Demonic spirits does not like to be around. You remember I told you about the four atmospheres of spirits? They can't stand to be around a godly atmosphere. The young man I talked to on Monday, he said, preacher, what am I going to do? I said, the first thing I would do, and you may think I'm crazy, but I'm keeping it in the book. I said, I'd go to every room in that house. I'd get a Bible and I'd open it up. I'd hang a cross on every wall in every room of the house. I'd get me some good gospel music playing. You say you're crazy. No, I'm creating a spirit of worship. An atmosphere of praise. An atmosphere of God. Demonic spirits cannot stand that. This boy had been possessed since a child. Why so long? We've got a couple of things that we can gather from this. Don't make the mistake that this father made. He had learned to live with the devil. He had a divided home. He was learning to coexist. I'm not going to live with the devil. I've made up my mind. I'm not living in the same house. In church, I'm not putting up with it. I told you a while ago, either get in or clear out. I don't want that spirit at the house of prayer. The second thing that the father done, he determined in himself that he was going to get some help. He finally said, enough is enough. This is my home. This is my church. Devil, you're not welcome here. He had heard about a man named Jesus. He had heard about legions. He'd heard about, no doubt, the one who had raised the dead, who had healed the sick. He went to the right person to get help. You know, I've come to the conclusion some people are just too lazy to go to church. But that's where you're going to find help. I see here the steps that he brought. The steps that he got for getting help. He says, I brought him to your disciples and they could do nothing. Well, the devil's not going to like this. But stop blaming the church. Well, I come to church and I just don't feel any better after I leave. You know, I would come to church, but the last time I was sick, I only got 27 cards. And before that, the time before, I got 97 get well cards. You know, the church must be backsliding. You know, I come to church, I didn't get anything out of the preaching. If you come here because of me, you come here because of the wrong reason. I brought him to your disciples and they could not. Well, I heard that there's a minister over here that he's got a wonderful following. I mean, he's casting out devils, he's giving prophecies, he's doing all kinds of things. If you go to him, you went to the wrong person. I told this young man Monday, I said, if you come to me and you call me, and I appreciate you doing that, but if you come to me for deliverance of this demonic spirit that has oppressed you and possessed you, you call the wrong preacher. I can't do it. And you said, wait a minute, Matthew 10:10, or chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus gave his disciples power over all demonic. Yes, he did. But you're missing my point. I can't do it, but he can. I can point you in the right direction, but it's Jesus Christ that's going to deliver you. You come to the altar, you pray, we pray, nothing changes. Why? Scripture tells us. The dad said, He has a dumb spirit. Did you catch that? But Jesus said he has a deaf and a dumb spirit. Until you identify what your problem is, that I have a spirit of addiction, call it by name. It is alcohol. It is drugs. I have a spirit of lust. It's pornography. It's this. It's that. Until you call it by name and recognize and realize what the problem is and take it to Jesus, you'll never get deliverance from it. You've got to call it by name. You can scream, you can holler, but it'll be the same way tomorrow because you've labeled him wrong. We are responsible for one thing and one thing only after we identify what it is that is hindering us. You'll read about it in verse number 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The original text means that he had lost his faith. He had lived with this demonic possessed son for so long that he had lost hope of ever getting deliverance. There are some of you that have been oppressed and possessed, and the devil has told you that you can never. But you've got to believe. If you will only, that's all he did not ask you to fight the devil. He did not ask you to do it on your own. All he asked of the Father was that you believe. I see so many people, they stand up and they blame the devil. He didn't call us to blame the devil. He called us to resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm convinced that some of you don't want delivered because you'll have to get into the atmosphere of God. Some of you are enjoying the pleasures of sin. They'll be just for a season. Some of you carry that little spirit around like a little pet. I'm convinced that some of you enjoy the sympathy, the attention that it draws. But he's called us to a higher calling. We can live without the demonic spirits. Come back to the music, if you will. Are you satisfied with your relationship where you are with Christ today? I'm going to remind you of the scripture that I read earlier. He who hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. We are not flesh, but we are a spirit. So which spirit is it? You say, "Well, brother Hubbard, I'm not anything." No, you are. You're one or the other. You may not realize it, but you're a spirit of His or a spirit of the enemy. We were created body, spirit, and soul. The body. The Bible tells us it'll go back to the dust from which it come. The spirit and the soul are eternity. It doesn't matter if you, what your destination is going to be, whether it's heaven or whether it's hell, but you will live throughout eternity in one of two places. Go ahead and play and sing if you will, Brandon. The altar's open. Someone, will you stand with me this morning? Maybe someone that feels the need to pray.